Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi
on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi coming at you. I am here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael back on the East Coast. It's chillier on the East Coast than it is the West Coast. What is going on in America, Michael? But you guys are actually colder there in Jersey than it is in Vegas.
No, we're warmer, actually. We're warmer than you are, David. We're warmer. I mean, you're actually colder. I don't understand what the hell's going on there. I have no idea. Of course, I'm not a weather expert. I barely can get that right. But I know we have Halloween tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to that. So the best part is you see those little kids come up in their costumes. There's nothing better than that. You know, it's like, I'll give you all the candy you want, whatever you need. So it'll be fun.
But how much candy will you have?
It's going to be a nice night.
Yeah, how much candy are you going to have at the Lombardi household? Like, how long are you going to give the kids a two-hour window?
I'm on my own. I'll probably be there for, I don't know, like, usually it's from like 5 to 7.
Okay.
So I bought enough, yeah. And no little candy either, Dave. We're not giving out those little baby Ruths. It's either big Hershey bars or big Reese's peanut butter cups. That's it, you know.
Oh, man, you give out the Reese's?
I'm not a candy snob because I'm a fat guy. I eat any candy, so that doesn't really bother me, but. To me, if you're going to give it out, you got to give it out big. Go big or stay home.
I might show up at your door if you're giving out Reese's. That's a really good solid candy on Halloween. Michael, I do want to begin this hour by discussing what is on your mind. And I think it might be baseball that trumped football last night with what you saw at Yankee Stadium.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean, when that fan took the ball, was it out of Mookie Betts' glove? Like literally holding his arm and then opening the glove up, and it was a coup. Like I like, what did he think he was? He didn't think he was going to get caught. I mean, like, seriously, like, how do you have that behavior? Like, what makes you think because you bought a ticket, and I'm sure that's an expensive seat, right? I'm sure he paid really good money for that ticket, but what thinks it gives you the right to be a jerk? Right, to be a, I mean, because you could have hurt Mookie Betts. I mean, you could have hurt him. I mean, sitting there up against the wall. Like, what makes you think you could take that liberty? Whatever happens, it's like, we'll write about this tomorrow for the Daily Coach. It's like people that don't put the shopping cart back where it belongs, right? You know, to me, that's a telltale sign of somebody who's, it's somebody else's problem, right? It's somebody else's issue, right? And so, like, for me, that's exactly what I'm talking about here with this. Is like, does this guy actually, like, what is his, what behavior is this represent? I mean, I don't get it, David. I mean, you know, I don't understand it. It's selfish and indulgent.
Well, here's what I'll say. If I was a defense attorney, now this would be a tough one to defend, right? The first guy here that you're seeing on your screen, now Mookie's going into the stands, so it's kind of like, all right, it's fair game. I can go for the ball as a fan. It's the other guy that you don't see, Michael, that then comes around and his buddy that then grabs Mookie's arm so they can pry the ball out of his glove.
Matt,
like,
grabs
what is
his
that?
Arm, right. Both of them are indulgent, self-indulgent. I agree with you. Yeah, I don't want to blame just the guy in the Yankee uniform.
Right.
This will be the last Yankee game he ever attends. He's going to have a fake nose and glasses to get into the stadium ever again. I mean, there's no way. How would you let this guy in?
By the way,
I mean, to me, it doesn't speak to it. And then, of course, you know, the guys, they take it out on the Italian community. Of course, you know, why wouldn't he be, you know?
We Italians, we always get the bad rap. Yeah, I would not have been a good defense attorney if I just implicated the other guy, too. So probably not. They don't want me representing them in court, Michael. But, yeah, like, I'm glad, first of all, in all seriousness, we're really glad that Mookie Betts, nothing happened to Mookie. But it's got to be shocking as a player. We've seen this, you know, in baseball, in historical connotations, like Jeffrey Mayer way back, you know, the Derek Jeter home run that shouldn't have been a home run because Mayer leans over and he becomes a hero in New York because he saves, you know, gives Jeets a home run back in the day. But It's so hard. We don't see this in the NFL, right? You see it in basketball occasionally in the front row, but really this just seems to be a baseball thing, right, Michael, where you can go into the stands?
Yeah.
No,
well, how about
else?
The guy at the Cubs game? It took away the Cubs' chance, right?
Steve Bartman.
I mean, who, that guy. They did a documentary on that guy. You know, that poor guy. He never recovered from the interference. But this whole hand, like the guy coming in with his other hand.
Yes.
You know, like, you know. Like, and they think, and these guys actually think they're doing the Yankees a favor. I love the guy with the, you know, I never even knew they had these sliding mitts. Whoever knew about sliding mitts, Dave? Did you ever know about sliding mitts in your lifetime playing baseball?
Never heard
of that. What are they? Like, it's, I mean, don't you want your hands dirty? I mean, and the guy with the sliding mitt coming over, like, who the hell are you? You should be thrown out of the stadium for wearing a sliding mitt to a game. I mean, seriously, it was 60 degrees.
It's a whole nother conversation about adults wearing gloves to baseball games as fans. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. I don't know if there should be an age cutoff of when you can't have a sliding glove or a.
I mean, he has a sliding mitt and sunglasses on, and it's dark at night. I mean, like, seriously.
I'm just glad Mookie still has his wallet.
And you could do a documentary on this. I mean, it's just, it's really so bad.
But you're right about
it's
Steve
so
Bartman
bad.
In Chicago. Because, Michael, when I was in Chicago, they literally still blame Steve Bartman for the Cubs. They don't blame Alex Gonzalez for the error that happened right after the Moises Alou play with Steve. They blame Steve Bartman. The guy had to leave Chicago. He didn't move. Because fans are so crazy. But,
of course.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's been so long since they won. That was there. They were right there. You know,
the
somebody's got to take responsibility and blame. That's right.
Yeah. The front offices won't do it. The players won't do it. We got to blame the fan. I do want to ask you about some of the big news of the day, obviously. And the biggest news of the day, Michael, in the NFL is quarterback change at Indy. If this is not surprising to you, I don't know if you felt like it was inevitable that Shane Steichen had to make this move to Joe Flacco, but it is official. They're going to bench Anthony Richardson. My question to you is it to you a short-term thing, or is this, hey, if Flacco gets the job done, it's his job in perpetuity?
I can't see that. I mean, what is Flacco going to do to ever make you go back to Anthony Richardson? Now, I could see them having a package for Anthony Richardson. Bring him in the red zone.
Sure.
You know, utilize his skill as a runner. There's no question about that. But look, Anthony Richardson has been a disaster at quarterback. 44% completion in a league where, you know, you can throw bubbles and slips and you can get to 65s. I mean, these numbers at 44% completion, they go back to the 70s when, you know, the quarterbacks were getting the crap beat out of them, or the 60s when there was no protection on a quarterback. Everybody played man-to-man. They could jam the hell out of the receivers. I mean, in this day and age, it's ridiculous. So I don't see how they go back to him. I really don't, unless Flacco gets hurt. But to me, he's going to have to sit and watch. Maybe you keep him engaged in a package, but his accuracy is so bad. His timing is so bad. And like I mentioned, I mean, last game, the Houston Texans got their ball hands on 10 footballs. Mm. 10. They broke up 10 passes. That's a chance for 10 interceptions. You know, and so to me, he's got 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Shane Steichen was going to lose his team if he didn't do this.
Some significant wide receiver news. Bad news out of H-Town. Stephon Diggs is done for the year, Michael, with a torn ACL. Got that happened in that win against the Colts last week. Nico Collins still not walking through that door anytime soon. They're going to short week Thursday night, tomorrow night, if you can believe it, against the Jets in the Meadowlands there. What do you make of Houston now without Stephon Diggs?
Well, I mean, look, Diggs was a good second receiver. They've been trending downwards since they lost Nico Collins. He's their explosive player. Diggs averaged 10.6 yards a catch on his 47 looks, right? And so, you know, he was certainly a veteran player, could help them. But the guy they miss more than anybody is Nico Collins. They need to get him back. They got Robert Woods, who's a veteran receiver on the team, who could probably get as much, maybe just a little bit less than what they had with Diggs. Tank Dell has to take a giant mother may I step up. But where I think this team has to win on Sunday, on Thursday night, is defensively. They forced 9 turnovers in the last 3 weeks. They've only given up the ball twice. They've been really good at forcing the ball out. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are playing very well coming off the edge, which is a huge problem for this Jet offensive line to block. They've not allowed 20 first downs in any game so far this year. That's pretty remarkable. They have not allowed it. And so the movement of the front, I think, will give Morgan Moses and will give Tyron Smith a lot of trouble. And look, let's face it, Aaron Rodgers, you know, everybody says, oh, they have Aaron Rodgers. They have. I wrote this last week. In 22 and 21, Aaron Rodgers, when he won the MVP, averaged 7.7 yards per attempt.
Wow.
His last year in Green Bay, he averaged 6.8. That's in 22. In 24, he's averaged 6.7. So that trend is going in the wrong direction. And it's not because he's no longer, you know, it's because of everybody. It's because he's getting older. That father time comes in. And I have a hard time betting the Jets in a close game. I really do. Or recommending the Jets. And I applaud Matty Eumanns for doing it. Because now you're betting on Greg Zuerlein. Mm. Now think about this, David. In an era where we have unbelievable kickers. I mean, Kerry Fairbairn is 9 of 10 outside of 50 yards.
Wow.
He's 90% when the ball gets kicked out there. Meanwhile, Zuerlein has, from the 30 to the 50, he has missed 6 kicks. And he's not made any outside of 50. From the 30 to the 50, he's missed 6 field goals. It's horrible.
By the way, he makes that kick against the Broncos. I wonder if the season's different for the Jets, but he didn't make it. They lost that game. It's been a free fall.
Or the
since.
Kick last week against the Patriots.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. The Jets have been in a look. The same thing now. The Texans, they've won. Why are the Texans winning? I just told you. Fairbairn's been great, right? They've won close games. They've won by 2 and 3 points against the Colts, right? They beat the Bears by 6. They beat Jacksonville by 4. They beat Buffalo by 3. You don't think the kicker had a lot to do with that games? Of course he did.
I'm just glad you're putting respect, because you always do, and I do too. Respect the kicker. Take the points. I need those T-shirts made here, Michael.
More so than ever.
Yes.
More so than ever in this league. Look, one of the three best coaches in the league are Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Mike Tomlin. And they send that kicker out constantly.
Yep.
Now, the ones that don't, you decide.
By the way, Nico Collins, they're hoping he's going to be back week 10 for the Texans against the Lions. So maybe reinforcements on the way, but still a couple more weeks without Nico and certainly Steph Diggs for the remainder of the year. Michael, when we come back, we're going to look at some line moves that we've seen this week in the NFL. And I'll get your opinion of whether or not these are the correct line moves. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. Going to have Adam Burke join us in the next segment. Michael, of course, does a great job as our managing editor. A lot of things going on at VSiN. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you need to be one by now. I do want to get to some of the trades, Michael, that happened last night, because I always feel like you wake up and you go, oh my goodness, we're getting to that time of the year before the trade deadline. You're trying to make those moves on teams that we believe potentially would be playoff teams, if not make deep runs. One of those surprising teams has been Minnesota, off to a 5-0 start, lost their last two, and then lost Christian Darrisaw, their very talented left tackle, for the remainder of the year. They go get Cam Robinson out of Jacksonville to get a left tackle to come in there for potentially some late-round compensation. What do you make of that move? And does it say more about Jacksonville that they're willing to move on and kind of punt the season, or that Minnesota really feels like they're a player this year?
Well, look, I think Trent Baalke, the general manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars, know Cam Robinson wasn't playing well. He drafted Walker Little. He believed Walker Little could be the next Joe Staley. So he's got a lot invested in Walker Little, even though Walker Little hasn't played very well at all. But the offensive line has been a really sore spot for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. Not very good protection from either tackle. And so I think to get away from the $17 million, he basically just gave the player away to Minnesota, knowing that he was probably going to have to cut him in the offseason anyway. So he was able to recoup a pick here. And if you're Minnesota, you're saying, look, I know the tape's not great. I know he hasn't played up to the level that the Jaguars thought he should play at, considering they franchised this player. But maybe we can get him to play better. Maybe we can get him to become a better player in our scheme and he'll at least give us a chance to operate as an offense where we couldn't do that with Quisenberry or Taubes or whomever else they were going to put in there. So to me, it's a win-win for both. You know, look, you're not going to find a perfect left tackle at this time of the year. The Giants obviously couldn't find one, but it gives them a chance to at least work around the left tackle.
By the way, Minnesota's -310 to make the postseason. The Jaguars +$9. That's how dismal their start's been to the season. If you think the Jags can somehow rebound and make it to the postseason, I know Carolina. No visions of grandeur down there with Dave Canales. They have shipped away their starting wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, who they had just got in the offseason from Pittsburgh. He's now going back to the same division, but now with the Ravens, as the Ravens pick up a little bit of insurance at wide receiver. Were you surprised by this move by Baltimore? Or do you think it's an arms race and they're like, hey, we're going to get another weapon for Lamar Jackson?
Well, it doesn't cost him anything. I mean, Deontay Johnson's going to be a free agent. So basically what they bought with this trade is a compensatory pick. Right. So he's a free agent. They gave away nothing. The fifth rounder that they gave away to get a sixth rounder back will probably be within, let's set the over under of 7 picks. Mm. Okay. Let's set the over under within 7 picks. So they basically moved down 7 spots in a round and got a player that who eventually, if he signs a huge contract and plays well for them, they could get a compensatory 4th, 5th, whatever. They're going to get something better than what they gave up. To me, it was a ridiculous trade for Carolina. I mean, I know they salary dump it, but the reality of it is if you hold on to the guy, you know, he'll go out in free agency. You could probably get a better compensatory pick than what you're being offered. It made no sense at all. But of course, under the Carolina Panthers leadership, nothing makes sense.
Yeah, a bit perplexing. I get it. It's a dumpster fire down there right now, but he did just kind of give away a player that at least they covered it in the offseason. He's already gone now back to the Baltimore Ravens. Very quickly, Michael, do not forget, I know you have not, that on Friday, November 1st, Saturday, November 2nd, it is the Breeders' Cup. So you can win big with First Bet. You sign up now at firstbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200. You're going to claim a 20% rebate for the first 60 days, up to $200. That's firstbet.com. Use that promo code VEASAN200. They've been trying to ride the horse that is Derek Carr down in New Orleans, rather, Michael. And I want to talk about some money moves and whether or not these line moves make sense to you. One that's been moving towards the favorite is the aforementioned Saints. It was 4.5. Then the news looks like that Derek Carr is going to be able to go against the Panthers. It's up to 7. I get it, how bad the Panthers have looked, and they look awful. Does that make sense? Is Derek Carr still a 2.5-point money mover to you?
Yeah, I don't see how you bet the Panthers. I really don't. I mean, Sean Payton, who, you know, one thing about the National Football League, there's a decorum. Usually, like you find in the medical field, right? Other doctors don't criticize other doctors, right? Even if there's a horrible, they just kind of say, well, you know, there's a code of conduct, right? When Sean Payton comes out and says, look, we just played a really bad offense. I mean, seriously? We don't even know who's going to – obviously, I think Andy Dalton will come back at quarterback, which, you know, does that make the Panthers any better? Look, I think the Panthers know they're like the, you know, the Cleveland Indians in Major League. I mean, they know this is horrible. that whole locker room is a depressed, right? I mean, there's you can't bet them. You couldn't. I mean, Denver can't score a lot of points, and they put 28 on them, and they covered that number. Mm-hmm. They got the cheap touchdown to get it to within 14, but I'm not sure 7's enough. I think you're going to see this number go to 8, 8.5 by Sunday, Dave. I really do. I think people are going to say, look, Carolina's terrible. As bad as New Orleans is, they'll get Carr back. They'll run the ball. They're desperate to get a win. You can make the case for New Orleans here and lay the 7.
How about that? The Saints have lost 6 in a row, and the money is moving towards the Saints, as you mentioned, and probably not done at 7, to Michael's point. You know, the Eagles, it's only gone up 1 point here against the Jaguars from 6.5 to 7.5, but that's the key, is that it went through 7. And it's not just a 1-point move, but you're going from 6.5 to 7.5. That feels significant. Are the Eagles going to start hitting their stride? Did we see it last week in the second half against Cincinnati?
Well, look, I think Jacksonville's defensively has struggled all year, right? I mean, Green Bay, when Jordan Love went to the sideline and everybody in the stadium knew that it was going to be Josh Jacobs' game and Malik Willis' running, they couldn't stop him. You know, now I know Doug Peterson's coming back. They're going to, you know, he's back for the first time. He could stand in front of his statue at Link Financial and all that crap. But I don't think it really matters. I think this is a game that the Eagles are starting to play much better, especially defensively. And with the question marks at left tackle now, and Trevor Lawrence, look, he played better last week. But once again, turnover inside the 5-yard line of all things, right? Look, if I was convinced that Doug Peterson would run Bigsby and set up a game plan where it was going to be 25 throws and take shots down the field, I would probably take the 7 and 7.5 here because I think the Eagles are vulnerable to a good run team and a physical team, but that's not Jacksonville.
You're seeing one more on your screen here towards the favorite, and that is the Chiefs, the last remaining undefeated team, obviously reigning, defending, 2-time Super Bowl champs, now 8.5 now against Tampa Bay in prime time. If there's a week that the Chiefs' offense starts to look like the old Chiefs' offense, is it this week against the banged-up Bucs?
You know, I mean, that's the only thing. I mean, this Bucs defense has been so disappointing. I mean, they struggled to get any pressure last week on Kirk Cousins. You know, they had a chance to get back in that game. They had a horrible call on the Kyle Pitts fumble that wasn't. But to me, you know, playing in the heat and humidity. Now, look, I just went through all the weather games, and the only game that has weather is going to be the Cleveland game and Seattle game, which is going to have rain. But the numbers, the temperatures this weekend are going to be September temperatures, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that will Kansas City be in shape enough to handle this, right? But they're playing at home. Tampa, we know they're in shape. So, you know, you would lean a little bit towards Tampa here if they were playing in Florida. But I just think it's a hard game for Tampa, you know, based on their injuries. We know Mike Evans isn't going to be playing in the game. They don't have Godwin. Hard defense to go against. I could see why this number's moving up.
You know, when we look at some of these teams that have flipped favorites here, and we've talked a little bit about some of these, but I did want to point out the Seahawks game against the Rams. Because
yeah,
Seahawks,
interesting, right?
Yeah, that's the one I don't get, that it's in the Pacific Northwest, and I know they looked terrible last week, that's for sure, and the Rams looked really good last Thursday night. Maybe it's that mini bye. What do you make of Sean McVay now being favored on the road here?
I didn't understand this either, but I think the Seattle team, I think that tells us Metcalf's not playing.
Mm.
I think that's what it must tell us. I think that the books are anticipating Metcalf not to be playing in the game because I think this is it should be a pick 'em more than anything, a 1.5, obviously. I mean, there's some sort of the Rams. I mean, there's some shops where you can get the Rams at -2,
oof,
you know, that's out there. You know, and there's some, I mean, Westgate has the pay, as Seattle is still -1 favorite.
Wow.
So this number's all over the board based on the shop you look at. I just think to me that Seattle, if it's not moved towards Seattle, it tells us that Metcalf's not going to play. We know they struggled last week against a good Buffalo defense. And if they can't get Kenneth Walker running the football, it's a problem. It really is. To me, Seattle moves the ball on everybody, but they need Walker to be the main focus of their offense.
We see, and we talked about it in hour one with Will Hill, the Bears open as small favorites. They're now a point underdog out in the desert here against Carolina. And Michael, very quickly, we saw the Packers open 1. Now it's Lions 3.5. That's Jordan Love, right? That's a significant move because we're not anticipating he's going to play.
I think so. I think that's the case. Yeah, I think there's no question. A lot of quarterbacks, we can talk about them if we come back. A lot of teams, we don't know who's going to quarterback in New England. We still don't know with Tennessee, right? So and Carolina, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, and that is a significant 4.5-point move there with the Packers and the Lions, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk to Adam Burke next, our managing editor here at VC.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line here on a Wednesday. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. A pleasure to welcome back to the program our managing editor, Michael, here at VSiN, Adam Burke. You can follow Adam as I do on X at Skating Tripods. Joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Adam, every time we talk, I don't know if you ever sleep with all the guides that we're putting out here in the network, but there's no better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And college basketball right around the corner. Can you tell the people everything they have access to once they become a member?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Good morning, first of all. College basketball starts on Monday, which, I mean, there is you just roll into the new seasons when you talk about this industry. And We roll into this season with our new college basketball betting guide, which came out last Thursday over at vsin.com. As you mentioned, the Sports Equinox special is still going on. Other specials coming your way here shortly also. But yeah, this college basketball guide, I mean, to me, I think it's the hardest sport to try to prepare for because the transfer portal is just so robust. Most of these teams have maybe one, two, three returning starters at most. Most of them have zero. So, you know, it's one of those things where you need to get a guide like this to get you prepared for the season. And my team over there did a phenomenal job at vsin.com. We encourage you to become a VSIN Pro subscriber and get that guide along with everything else that we do on a daily basis.
Adam, as you've gone through all these college teams, and it's hard to figure out where all these teams are, the transfer portal, is there one team that kind of caught your eye as you were going through it that said, wow, I didn't realize they were going to be as good as they're going to be?
Yeah, actually, one team in a conference that I wrote up, the American Athletic Conference, is the Memphis Tigers. You know, last year they were a really disappointing team. They weren't physical. They weren't good on the defensive glass. They weren't good on the defensive end, period. So Penny Hardaway kind of shifted gears and said, you know what? I want physical dudes. They're going to play at both ends of the floor. And he got some of that. And guys like P.J. Haggerty, who comes over from Tulsa, Tyreek Smith, who was in the Big 12 and then played at SMU last year. You know, he's got some more toughness and tenacity on this team. A lot of guys who have played a lot of college basketball, albeit at different programs. So we'll see how quickly they gel. But, you know, I saw somebody reach out to me on X and said they got Memphis at 300-1 at Caesars, I believe it was, to win the national championship. I think that's a phenomenal price. They're going to be the best team in that conference. They should win the conference, be a high seed in the NCAA tournament. If you can get them at a balloon price like that, you've got a lot of hedging potential whenever you need it in the tournament, or you can try to ride it out and see where they go. But Memphis is a team. Bart Torvik has them fourth in projected production from transfers in the nation. So I think Memphis is a team that's going to be really, really good in that conference. And the conference kind of fell off a little bit too. So the Memphis Tigers are a team I have my eye on beginning next week here.
Yeah, I say it all the time. If you're taking it seriously, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And again, Matt Youmans got his top 50 in the preseason out there in the guide. He didn't have Syracuse in there, so I'm a little bit bitter about that, Adam. I do want to ask you very quickly, we will have more baseball tonight. There's going to be a game five. Gerrit Cole is going to be on the bump here for the Yankees. I think we should ban bullpen games in the World Series, or at least in the postseason. It cost the Dodgers a little bit yesterday to extend this series. What do you make of the Yanks now? Do they feel like it's new life, or is it borrowed time?
Well, look, I mean, I think not only the fact that the Dodgers had to go with a bullpen game yesterday, but a lot of dudes for the Yankees started to hit, and virtually nobody outside of Soto and Stanton in this series had been hitting. You get the Volpe grand slam early on. That takes some of the pressure off. Gleyber Torres hits the late three-run homer for insurance that they didn't really need, but it's always good to, you know, have a big hit like that in a game of that magnitude. So a lot of the Yankee hitters got a little bit of belief. They, you know, grip the bats a little bit looser here for tonight's game and potentially going forward in the series. Guys, I think the biggest question tonight is, what do we get out of Jack Flaherty? Jack Flaherty was really, really good in game one, coming off of an atrocious start against the Mets in game five in the championship series. I don't know if maybe he couldn't get loose because it was a little bit cooler at Citi Field than he's been accustomed to at Dodger Stadium and throughout the course of the season where it's been a little bit warmer. It's not going to be warm tonight in the Bronx. So, you know, if he wasn't getting loose, if he was having grip issues, something like that, you know, guys, his velocity was down 2 miles per hour on his fastball in that start against the Mets, and they lit him up like a Christmas tree. So it's really hard for me to do a whole lot with this pregame because I think the price is a touch high on Gerrit Cole. But at the same time, if Flaherty's bad, this is going back to LA. So I'm trying to figure out kind of a creative way to play this where I can get the Yankees, maybe cut down the VIG a little bit, maybe a first five run line, something like that. Because I think Cole's going to shine. I think Cole's going to be really good. If Flaherty's good, then who knows what happens tonight. If Flaherty's not good, we get a game six.
Let's shift to football here. Let's shift to the NFL. We were spent a lot of time today talking about the Cincinnati Bengals and their lack of physicality. And then they have the Raiders coming in. And of course, Joe Burrow thinks that, you know, they're just going to roll off nine straight wins. But you like the Raiders and taking the points here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this. You know, the Raiders are kind of operating at a disadvantage most weeks because Antonio Pierce just, he's not an NFL head coach. You know, he's probably a great rah-rah guy, a good leader of men. His in-game decisions are not particularly strong. That being said, I mean, the Raiders fight week in and week out. They're not a good football team. There's a lot of character on that team. And I do think that to some degree, getting Devontae Adams out of the mix, even though he wasn't really playing anyway, helps this team because he was a gigantic distraction. And now the guys in that room can just go out there and play football. Look, this is a Raiders team that is minus 13 in turnover margin right now. 17 giveaways, only 4 takeaways. That has to positively regress at some point for them here throughout the course of the season. Minshew's a veteran guy. He should be able to take better care of the football than he does. And look, I mean, the Bengals' defense is bad. I mean, we saw it last week against the Eagles. We've seen it a lot throughout the course of this season. Lou Anarumo's probably going to get fired, whether it's at the bye week or at some time this offseason. I think Zach Taylor could potentially be on his way out as well. So there's a lot of, I guess, for lack of a better term, turmoil with the Bengals right now. They don't look to me like a team that's buttoned up enough to beat another NFL team by more than a touchdown. So I think the Raiders, I know it's an early kick. I know it's long travel, this and that. But I think the Raiders are a team that will at least go out there and fight and play hard. And I think the Bengals just, this season's not going where they expected it to go. And I think it's having a big negative impact on them.
Yeah, still winless at home so far for the Bengals. If they are winless after this one on Sunday, you're right, Adam. There could be changes coming sooner rather than later. Let's stay with the AFC West against the AFC North, but let's talk about Baltimore and Denver in this one. And a battle of, if you said before the year, good defense, you'd think that'd be the Ravens. But it's been that Bronco defense so far. They're getting 9, 9.5 as they come cross country. Do you think the Broncos might be live here?
Live, I don't know, but getting 9, I certainly like them in that context. I mean, look, this is a team that's 3rd in EPA per play on defense, 2nd in drop back EPA. They're kind of league average against the run, so it could be a game where Derrick Henry winds up, you know, having a pretty positive showing here, but I don't know that that really helps you cover big numbers in the NFL. I think being able to have big explosive pass plays is what helps you do that, and you're probably not going to get many of those against this Broncos defense. But guys, the other thing here, you know, I watched the Ravens against the Browns. I can watch the Browns now because Deshaun Watson's gone. The Ravens, not only they didn't have Marlon Humphrey or Nate Wiggins in that game, and then lost Michael Pierce and Brent Urban on the inside throughout the course of that game. Now, they may all play. We'll see. They all have the questionable designation for this week. But Denver is 2nd in the NFL in rushing success rate. So if the Ravens defense is missing some guys in the interior of that defensive line, I think Denver could run the football a little bit, and Bo Nix is actually playing rather well. So I think 9 points is too many here, where I respect the fact that the odds makers have had Baltimore power rated at or near the top of the league all season long. I appreciate that. I understand that. But I think this team's defensive injuries and some of the things going on offense right now give the Broncos a chance to keep this one close.
Yeah. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars? Doug Peterson returns to Philadelphia to see his statue, and they're getting 7.5 against the Eagles, and you like them in this game.
Yeah, it's a week of ugly dogs here for me. I mean, it's been kind of a season of ugly dogs, so maybe that'll continue here in week 9. But guys, the Eagles just, they're not consistent at all whatsoever. I mean, last week they played really well against the Bengals, probably their best game of the season, at least in terms of result, beating them by 20, but I'm still not impressed with what's going on with Nick Sirianni. Also, there's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. Sirianni was Frank Reich's OC in Indianapolis. Reich was Peterson's OC in Philadelphia. Peterson knows this offensive scheme. Maybe there's a few wrinkles under Sirianni, but for the most part, he knows how to game plan against this because this is the kind of thing that he likes to run. So I think that helps a bad Jacksonville defense that is getting a little bit healthier in the secondary. And Trevor Lawrence is actually playing well here of late. Nobody's talking about it because Jacksonville's still losing games, but Trevor Lawrence has been playing a lot better over the last few weeks here. So I think Jacksonville has enough weapons to keep this thing interesting, and I just don't see the Eagles playing consistently enough to want to lay this kind of number with them. So I like the Jags plus 7.5 here.
Got about a minute to go here, Adam. There is Wednesday night college football. A couple games on the docket here. Jacksonville State against Liberty. Kennesaw State against Western Kentucky. Any sides here that you might really like?
Yeah, I will say this is the last week for Conference USA weeknight football. I know you'll be very invested in Maction next Tuesday because I know there's nothing else going on that you're interested in. but I will say this about tonight's game. You know, Jacksonville State and Liberty, I really truly don't understand the line move here on Liberty. Liberty is a team that has not played well throughout the course of the season, lost to the consensus worst FBS team in Kennesaw State last week. And Jacksonville State has a true legitimate dual threat quarterback in Tyler Huff, who's played extremely well. Jacksonville State over 7.7 yards per play in conference play. I just think that the Gamecocks are the better team here, so give me them as a dog tonight against the Flames.
I have no idea what's going to be happening next Tuesday in our country. No clue what's going on. Adam, appreciate your time as always, my friend. And again, everybody out there, you got to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Great work by Adam and his whole crew here. When we come back, Michael, I'm going to get to some news or noise. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This edition of the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi with our edition, Michael, of news or noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
It's a simple question, Michael. I don't know if it's a simple answer. I'm going to start with the Jets. Not one, not two, not three. Six kickers, Michael, have been brought into the complex amid the struggles of one Greg Zuerlein. Is that news or is it noise?
Well, it's definitely news. I mean, you bring six in, you're making a move. You bring one in, you're doing an investigation. You bring six in, you're making a move. They're going to pick the best of six. See, here's the issue. Zuerlein's a vested veteran. So if they cut him, they still owe him salary, which is fine. I mean, sometimes you make a mistake when you figure your roster out. So you've got to cut your losses and go with someone else. I would suspect if they could add a kicker and keep Zuerlein on the team because they got to pay him anyway, that they would do that and just see if this kicker could go. And, you know, nobody's going to touch Zuerlein, but you got to pay him anyway. So for me, I think you bring six in, you're making a move.
By the way, and I heard some people clamoring about this, Michael, you can't carry two kickers on an active roster, can you? It's just the positions.
Yeah, you can. Well, you could put one on practice squad, okay. So, and then you could activate them to come game time. You could sign them to your practice squad, let them kick with the first team kicking on, you know, Wednesday. You don't have a lot of time to practice, right? So you're going to be out there Thursday. The team will be out there Tuesday, Wednesday. Tomorrow they won't be out there at all to get ready, but today there'll be a walkthrough. But you could line him up and see how he handles it, work with the snapper and the holder, and to see what that timing's like so that the game isn't just all of a sudden. But you got to make that move, and then you put him on the practice squad. Use this way you can keep continually get, reps out of him, and then it goes from there.
Jets, by the way, 2-point favorites tomorrow night against the Texans on Thursday Night Football. Okay, news or noise? This is out of Kansas City. And D-Hop, of course, is the new wide receiver out there in KC. Andy Reid had this to say about his veteran wide receiver.
You know, he's a good football player. And being able to fit in more will even be better, I think, as we go forward here. So he was chomping at the bit on the sideline, wanting to play. And at the same time, knowing that he didn't have all of it down, so there was a patience there, but he was into the game, and I think you'll be able to see more of this next game.
Yeah, I think this is news. I mean, obviously the kid's excited to be there, and I think Andy understands his limitations, right? That, like, he brought him in to convert third downs and make plays in the red zone. That's what he did, and that's what Hopkins is really good at doing. Hopkins, they're not going to throw nine routes to Hopkins. You know, that's going to be Worthy's job. They're going to try to control the football, keep their defense off the field as much as possible. It's not going to help them score more points. It's going to help them become more efficient to score more points. So I think it is news.
Do you think very quickly that this is, when we see this trade, the impacts of it for Hopkins in the postseason and potentially further on, will he be an impactful player for them eventually?
I think in situational football, yes. In terms of teams being, oh my God, we got to play against Hopkins, no. But in situations on third down, it's going to take pressure off of Kelsey. But, you know, teams are going to play him man-to-man. But this kid is very good at jump balls. He's very good at catching the ball in crowd. He's got great eye-hand coordination. And he seems like he wants to be there. I think he's tired of losing, which is a huge, huge huge advantage for the Chiefs, because these guys that have been in losing programs for so long, they're willing to do whatever it takes to help themselves win.
Cannot wait to get your thoughts on this one. Going to the city of brotherly shove, Nick Nurse had this to say about the health of his stars. Michael, I need to know from you if this is news or noise.
You guys got the update? They were in parts of practice. So, on we go.
With Joel's plan,
I'm not going to answer. Go ahead. Anybody else got anything? They've given you the updates on that, right? They've given you the updates on Joel. Go ahead. I mean, listen, we're it's not that hard to be on the same page, right? We want these guys to play, and we want them to be healthy, and we want them to play great, and we want them to play great all season, right? Then my main focus is I gotta do the job that I gotta do, right? I gotta try to get this team to play as good as it can tomorrow night.
I think Nick Nurse said a lot there without saying anything, right? He didn't want to answer the main question, so he knows he's not going to have Embiid. They basically politicized the answer. They've been fined $100,000 by the NBA for masking the last time. Mm. I don't see Embiid playing anytime soon. I'd be shocked if he would. Mom told that they're trying to get him to lose weight to take the pressure off the knee, that the knee's a problem, and it's going to continue to be a problem all year. Why they gave him that new extension, I have no idea. But they did, and they're trying to manage this. And I think Nurse understands that. And what he's saying there is, look, I can't control when the training staff or the performance staff tells me these guys are clear to play, so I'm only going to focus on the players that I have. I think that's exactly what he was saying without saying it.
I think you interpreted that perfectly as well. All right, Michael, I got to figure out if this is news or noise. And we know that Deontay Johnson's already been traded out of Carolina. He's going to the Ravens. But they got a couple other players like J.C. Horn, Chuba Hubbard. And reportedly, they are not going to be on the move. So no fire sale, at least, so far from Carolina. Is that news or noise?
Oh, I think it's news. I mean, I think, again, this is just them not understanding who the hell they are, right, and where they are. I think, to me, it is a concern because, look, they should hold on to their best players, but Chuba Hubbard's a free agent. So, to me, you're only trading Chuba if you think, A, you can get something more valuable than you could the last time. And I think that's the question that they have to ask themselves. So, I mean, don't ask me to explain anything that Carolina does because I can't. I don't think anybody can. Only Dan Morgan could and maybe David Tepper. But you can't get an organization run more poorly. I mean, you thought the Marge Schott organization in Cincinnati was bad? Wow. Yeah.
I'll tell you this. As a Cowboy backer, like Chuba would seem to be the right type of guy to help save their running game. But if he's not on the move... He's not on the move, according to the Panthers. Michael, let's get to some best bets here before we say goodbye in this edition of the Lombardi Line. These are brought to you by G-Bank.
I do think your Cowboys are trying to trade for a receiver. That I do think.
Really? What about a running back?
I do think they're trying to trade for... I haven't heard running back. I do think that they're exploring the Taquan Thornton option up in New England, thinking that New England might get rid of him because he's been on the trading block. And he's a vertical outside receiver. The Cowboys need a lot of speed. There's no question. And Thornton has disappointed. He's always on the hot seat in New England. He was one of their better receivers this summer, but he hasn't matched that this year. So I think there is some conversation that he's going to be on the move. And I think that the Cowboys could be a team be interested in him.
Now, you just got me excited, potentially after a 3-4 start here for the Cowboys. Those best bets are brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, Michael. And I want to get to some conversations we've had throughout the show. We had a great one in hour one with Will Hill. He does like the Colts getting the 5.5 points, 5.5 now against the Vikings. Obviously, the big news is the quarterback change there with Anthony Richardson going to the bench. Joe Flacco now going to be the starter. Do you think that's going to energize that locker room? And what do you make of that play?
You know, I think, look, it's a tough game for Flacco to come in against the Colts. The Colts didn't play really good defense the last 2 weeks. But to me, I think it gives some consistency to their offense. I mean, how many games can you keep going where the quarterback completes 10 passes or 44% of his throws? I mean, it's too hard, you know. And now they've got to play better consistently defensively, which is something that's been challenging. They're 24th in the league on third down. They can't get off the field, and they're really not a great red zone team. They're just right in the middle of the pack. So I do think Flacco gives the team some confidence in terms of consistency, which is so important.
One other one I want to sneak in. Boy, that Cardinals-Bears game is going to be interesting after the heartbreak for the Bears in D.C. They're now one-point underdogs out here in the other desert in Arizona. What do you make of that move, and how hard is it to get a team back up after a deflating loss like that?
Well, I think you just, you know, look, it's behind them once you get through it. I think the most ridiculous thing is they filed a complaint with the league saying they were held on it. Maybe they were held, no question. I mean, they don't call penalties in the last play of games. Rarely, even Scott Novak won't do that, and he loves to throw a good flag. So I thought that was ridiculous. Look, they can bounce back. I mean, they're a zone team. They're going against the Cardinals. They better stop James Conner because he can run it, and they better make sure they clamp down on – on Trey McBride and tramp down on Marvin Harrison, because those two guys are playing really well for this Cardinal offense. Even though the Cardinals' offensive line isn't very good, they've been able to do that.
By the way, the G-Bank Visa signature card is your best bet. It delivers 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. So for more info, head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. Michael, always enjoy the conversation, my man. So a great conversation today.
We'll see you tomorrow.
On this Wednesday. Absolutely. See you back here tomorrow. Of course, after us, we've got a numbers game. Matt Brown is in for Gil today with Kelly Bidlin. Then we've got Money Moves with Stormy and Patrick Maher at noon Eastern. Then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.